Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quick Heal Technologies Limited's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Quick Heal Technologies Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Kailash Katkar, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sanjay Katkar, Joint Managing Director and CTO, Mr. Naveen Sharma, Chief Financial Officer. Now, without any further delay, I request Mr. Kailash Katkar to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making the time to join us today for the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of this financial year. We at Quick Heal are pioneer in India in cybersecurity space, providing simple but effective solution for our customers' complex cybersecurity problems. We are the undisputed market leader in the consumer segment in India, which constitutes around 2/3 of our overall revenue. This is a cash cow segment and has been flattish for us due to stagnant market for the past few years. The stagnant market can be attributed to a lot of factors, including but not limited to lack of customer awareness, lower growth rate of PC inventory, and pricing pressure due to competition. Having said that, the global antivirus consumer market is likely to grow at around 4%, whereas India market is likely to grow at around 1%. We are already a market leader in this space and will continue to maintain our stronghold. Coming on to the enterprise segment, we are excited about growth since last few years and have already become 1/3 of our overall business. We have made a strong foray in the space, which is 20 times larger than the consumer segment and growing at 11%. We have set up a strong customer base in the SME segment in India through years of sales and marketing effort, enabling us to grow at 4 times the industry. With the new and upcoming products released and our shift towards larger enterprise, the future looks far more promising. Our newly launched Zero Trust product has able to garner traction and acquire first customer in this quarter, which further solidifies our belief. In this quarter, Q1, our R&D expenses has increased by around 39% year on year. Our investment into this space are already bearing fruits and is visible from our Q1 results, wherein the enterprise business grew by around 50% over the same period in the previous financial year. In the last quarter, we have onboarded a couple of industrial experts in the R&D and marketing function, namely Ashish Pradhan as a Chief Technology Officer and Sudhanshu Tripathi as a VP and Head of Marketing. Both of whom come with a significant experience in their domains. We also began our engagement with one of the top 3 global consultancy company to fructify our long-term strategy growth plan. Now I request Sanjay to take over through the technology updates and current development product or developed product. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Kailash. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me give you some more insight into the business segment performance of our company. As Kailash mentioned, in Q1 of FY23, our enterprise business showed a strong year-on-year growth of around 50% to reach approximately 22 crores. We have a very strong presence in the SMB segment and are gradually moving towards larger enterprise and have added 36 customers with greater than 500 endpoints in this quarter. The growth has been primarily coming through our ETS product, and we are well set with our newly released products and future roadmap. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about our product roadmap and strategy for the enterprise segment. The product lines are broadly bucketed into three categories: the endpoint security, zero trust, and data privacy. So our endpoint security product falls under the endpoint categories, which we are moving towards EDR and XDR for adding detection and response capabilities through automation, AI, and ML from erstwhile protection. We had launched our first version of EDR last year and have got our early customers. We are seeing good enough demand for this product getting generated in this market. So the world, including developed markets like US, is currently adopting the zero trust framework in their architecture to prevent cyber attacks. So our next gen zero trust user access and network access products are our solution for latching on this trend. So we had launched user access early this year and have onboarded our first customer in the zero trust user access segment this quarter. The government across countries are adopting data privacy regulations like GDPR in EU, and 71% of the countries worldwide have some form of data protection and privacy legislation prevalent. So we have launched our product early this year to help companies protect the PII data within their database. So we are establishing product market fit for all these products, which typically takes around 4 to 6 quarters, and you can expect revenues to flow in from H1 of FY24. I would now request Naveen to take you through the financial overview. Over to you, Naveen.
Thank you, Sanjay, and hello, everyone. Let me take you through the financial highlights for the first quarter of FY23. The consolidated revenues stood at Rs. 61 crores, which represents a growth of around 11.5% on a YOY basis. Would like to reiterate the fact that our business has seasonality across quarters, where our Q1 revenues are generally lower. On a segment basis, the revenue from consumer segment remained flattish at 41 crores, and the enterprise business grew by roughly 50% to reach 22 crores on a YOY basis. This is similar to how we have been viewing the business to perform going forward, that is, consumer segment to remain flattish or modest growth, and enterprise business growing rapidly. The enterprise segment has already become one-third of the business, and we are looking forward to make the business make the mix 50-50. R&D investments for the quarter stood at 46% of revenues, while the sales and marketing stood at around 30%. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 1.72%, and reason for decline in EBITDA margins were primarily due to the increased investment in R&D and sales and marketing. Also reiterating the fact that the revenues are seasonal, whereas the costs are not. We have increased our R&D efforts to cater to the bright opportunities of the market, as Sanjay detailed out in his commentary. In Q1 FY23, sales and marketing expenses were higher by 9% on a YOY basis at a consolidated level across the two verticals, which we believe will show results in the ensuing quarters in terms of revenue growth. The net profit stood at about Rs. 0.2 crores. We are committed to driving shareholder value by growing profitably across both of our segments and driving solid, unlevered cash flow. We have constantly rewarded our shareholders through buyback and dividend distribution programs and have returned Rs. 436 crores to our shareholders since FY20. And in addition to this, we have propose further buyback of rupees 150 crores. With this, I would like to open the call for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Ganguly from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One quick question on the buyback. Would the promoters be also participating in the buyback?
Yeah, hi Vivek. Yeah, promoter would be participating and they would be participating proportionately.
Okay.
This is the numbers the promoters have communicated, means broadly 36.4 lakh equity shares out of this 50 lakh shares would be promoters' participation, which is a proportionate number.
Right. And I had another question on the enterprise business. So, you know, in the presentation, you all have mentioned Securet, Hawkeye, HawkProtect. A couple of presentations earlier, we had two products that were highlighted there. And during this communication, you all mentioned that, you know, what you all are launching now, it will start earning revenue, you know, it will gain traction about, you know, 3 to 5 quarters down the line. And while we already have about, you know, a run rate of about, let's say, 80, 90 crores of enterprise revenue already flowing in. So what is the differential that we are, you know, alluding to that we as investors are not, you know, getting it? That these, the Securite Hawk product, Securite Hunt, these would be the new gen product that you are launching. But are these already garnering revenue, or these will garner revenue for you all going forward? And if so, then what is the differential between the current, you know, the contours of the current enterprise revenue that you'll have from the product, from a product perspective, and the one that will, you know, be your future revenue drivers?
Yeah, so to answer that, see, you rightly mentioned, we have been mentioning about these products, and investor presentation does have the list of the new products that we launched. The current enterprise revenues that we are seeing are coming from our existing business as usual products, which is like endpoint security and firewall and EMM, which is an enterprise mobility management. But in most particularly, the things, the revenues are coming from endpoint security as such, because that's our stronghold, and our market segment which we target, which is SMB. The EPS product is quite ready and competing with any of the MNCs in this category. With the launch of Hawk Hunt, which is an EDR, and then further we are extending it to XDR, and other products like VTUA, all these products are for the newer market that are getting generated, getting created because of the new way people are thinking about implementing security. And we want to be addressing those markets as well. So that's where our investment into these products. And these products 1.0 have been already launched, and these are in the beta, I mean to say, pilot testing with a lot of organizations, wherein we'll get the feedback, we'll customize it further, make it market fit ready. So that's where we say it's going to take 4 to 5 quarters further to start generating revenue out of that. So that those are the new products which has a different and additional revenue potential which will add up to our enterprise revenue.
So just to add to that, this is not something which is going to replace the existing enterprise products. Even those products are equally needed by the same customer, and this Zero Trust will be additional products, solutions for the customers actually.
Right. So these products that you have mentioned, the Securite products, will be over and above the endpoint product revenue line that you all have. Now, would you all be able to, you know, take us through, you know, we are pretty layman investors, we don't understand the technicalities of this space too much, But if you can take us and help us understand what each of these Hawkeye, Hawkhand, you know, what is the role that they perform in the cybersecurity ecosystem, each of them, that will be very helpful, because that is what we have been like struggling to understand. While you're, you know, this is the enterprise is, as you all say, is the future bread and butter, with the retail, you know, being flattish or on a, you know, flattish at best. So, you know, if you all could help us understand that, then it would make us take a much more informed investment decision.
Right. So, see, the EPS which we already have, which is for business as usual for us, is about endpoint security. But
right.
Now the endpoint security is not the only enough security which is coming up because of the new threat landscape. So we have started working on these new products. So Hawkhunt is about endpoint detection and response. So EDR is a short form. And EDR is about protecting the network from much advanced threats, giving control to the user to check the threat telemetry and go through the sensor telemetry and take the decision. So it's more towards protecting from advanced threats like APTs, advanced persistent threat attacks that are happening nowadays actually.
Right.
And the ZTUA product is all about zero trust user access, which gives an additional layer of protection for making sure that when any of the organizations, any of the users, whoever is connected to the network, and not only users, it's going to be devices, all these are like going to change to a new platform, which is zero trust, wherein no devices or no user will be trusted. Every time the user will be authenticated and allowed into the network. So that kind of security is a much advanced security needed for larger enterprises to handle the advanced threats that are we seeing nowadays actually. So ZTUA is an additional layer which is recommended by most of the companies like Gartner and all, recommend it to all the large enterprises to get protected from the advanced threats.
So
and the third product that we have coming up is in the data privacy segment, where newer data privacy laws which are going to come, and in certain countries it is already implemented, there are a lot of compliances that enterprises need to follow, and these compliances need a lot of tools which will bring in, like for the product that we launched, which is Hawk Scan, it scans for all the data at the user end and classifies them into different buckets and gives easy control for user to take the further decisions. So all this is like the market that's getting ready for this kind of products, and we are making sure that we have products in all these of the segments so that we will be able to grab certain share of the market. So if you see focused market potential in these categories is around 700 million globally, I'm talking about. And I'm talking about 700 million roughly by FY27, so in next 5 years. And that's where we want to grab some market share out of these products in as we launch and stabilize these products actually.
So you mentioned about Hawkeye and Hawk Protect. What about Hawk Hunt and Hawk Scan?
No, I mentioned about Hawk Hunt and Hawk Scan. So EDR is Hawk Hunt.
Okay, EDR is
Data Privacy is Hawk Scan. And HawkEye is a centralized dashboard for us, actually, which is a demand coming from all our, enterprises, wherein all these products, when the customers implement, they want everything to be on a single dashboard or single pane of glass, where they can control the all the applications on one single dashboard. So that HawkEye is a platform where all these products get logged in, and a user gets a centralized control over that. So that's again a good demand that is coming, and we have launched HawkEye, which has now integrated EPS, EDR, and Hawk Scan as well, and very soon Hawk Protect. So all these products will be a part of HawkEye, and HawkEye is going to be a centralized dashboard for the control for any CISOs that they will managing their infrastructure.
And what does Hawk Protect do?
Hawk Protect.
Hawk
Hawk Protect is a zero trust user access actually.
Okay.
So that's what I said. Yeah, ZTUA.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'll come back later. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have a small question regarding the share buyback. So could you just share some more details about the buyback, like the buyback price and when it is expected?
Yeah, hi, Gunit. So broadly, the offer size is 150 crores and the buyback is proposed at 300 rupees per share, which translates into 50 lakh shares, which is broadly 8.6% of total paid-up capital. We are going through tender route and timelines, etc., while there are SEBI, etc., comes into play. But broadly, we expect the buyback to get concluded in 3.5 to 4 months.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for the generous back. Sir, but the only thing is that we are giving an unrealistic price of 300 rupees. Sir, the whole idea is that since our PAT is flat since FY18 at around 83 crore, but still due to your buybacks, our EPS has increased from 11.8 to 14.34. So since our CMP was around 200 rupees, we could have done a buyback at 250 rupees, and instead of 50 lakh shares, we could have bought and extinguished 60 lakh shares. So basically, our EPS would have increased further, whereas the shareholders would have got the same 150 rupees, 150 crores. Sir, so in future, kindly keep that in mind. And sir, if it is possible to revise the buyback price, then please do so. And sir, also, sir, we are unnecessarily paying 30% dividend. And if we can just pay a token dividend, then we can do more buyback. Sir, so you can kindly consider that suggestion. And sir, also wanted to understand, sir, going forward for this financial year FY23, sir, what is the expectation, sir? Will we be able to surpass the 140 crore EBITDA that we did in FY21? Because I understand that there was some spillover that year from the previous year.
Thanks, Keshav. So as I understood, you have two things. One was a larger suggestion with respect to buyback and dividend. So probably board has taken a lot of considerations, a lot of factors, etc. were considered by board and they come to that number. But nevertheless, we will keep it in mind in during next transaction if the board approves any buyback in future. Second, with respect to EBITDA, see, larger part is revenue growth, what we are factoring, and we have been communicating even in past and similar we are communicating again this time that retail business, which is broadly two-thirds of our business, globally this business retail segment is growing at 4%, and in India the growth in retail segment is barely 1%. So broadly with this, our expectation for full year to remain in similar range, what India or global numbers are. Enterprise business which is growing at a faster rate. Globally, it is growing at 11%, and we expect to grow better than global numbers. And this is how we performed in last year, and similarly, we believe that, and even the same performance was there in quarter one as well. With respect to EBITDA, it would be difficult to comment on EBITDA numbers, largely because we are investing heavily on R&D and sales and marketing for our retail business, and R&D primarily for our enterprise business. And you know that entire IT industry is facing cost escalation, and we are no different from that. So what we are targeting is reasonable growth in revenue And to the extent possible, we will keep optimizing our cost to have a better bottom line.
Sir, and also, sir, whatever, basically, whatever R&D we are doing, we are debiting it from the P&L. So do we have any CapEx plans, or whatever R&D we are doing, that is our basically our CapEx?
So CapEx is limited, is very limited number. It means in our largest scheme of things, CapEx is insignificant. R&D is our major investment which happens.
Okay, sir. And sir, also wanted to understand, sir, that sir, we are paying normal tax rate, sir. So I think that for R&D we get some income tax deduction, so our tax rate should be lower than normal since we are spending so much on R&D.
No, the tax benefit R&D was available 3-4 years ago. In last 3-4 years, that deduction under 35(2AB) was abolished, and as such, there is no tax benefit for R&D.
Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, wanted to understand, sir, that post-COVID, there was huge increase in sale of IT products like PC and laptop, etc. Sir, around 50% increase in sales. So how is it not reflecting in our revenues? On the retail side, because if more people are buying IT equipment, and sir, in one call you did mention that for the first 6 months, the equipment comes with free antivirus. So now that those 6 months are over, so now people should be purchasing antivirus software.
Lack of consumer awareness is a biggest issue in India. Broadly, 20-25% laptops are only covered through antivirus. While this is a big opportunity for us, the moment this 20-25% improves to 45-50, or even it's a higher the way it is in developed countries, it provides a larger window opportunity. But as of now, this awareness, consumer awareness, is very low, more particularly in India. So while we are working to improve it, the way it improves, this will help us increasing our revenue as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jitendra Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first is a data point, but the next question is related to it. So if you look at your last year's revenue, how much of your revenues came from outside India? And within that, what has happened globally in terms of the recent geopolitical events, specifically with Russia and Ukraine? Is there anything you would like to share your thoughts in terms of how the macro environment for your business changes for the products that you sell overseas? And my second question is related to the government of India, recent changes in cyber security which are upcoming. I'm actually a novice and my understanding of technology is very weak. So if you could just explain what are these regulations which are upcoming and how does that impact our business for the enterprise business within India? So these are two questions. Thank you.
Sure. Jatinder, we could not hear your question number two. So you would like to repeat it. But with respect to our revenue, we are India-focused, India-centric company. More than 95% of our revenue comes from India. With this Russia-Ukraine war, as of now, it has not impacted us. When we decide to go global, then we will see that what could be consequence of or repercussion of these things. This is your answer for question number one. If you can repeat your question number two.
Yeah. My second question is related to some news articles which I have read, where the government of India is coming out with some new cyber security regulations that are to be implemented by end of September is what I understand. So what are those regulations basically? Because it says that it impacts large corporates and mid corporates together in terms of data privacy or whatever. Is there something that you would like to share for a layman as to better understand what are those regulations and how does it impact our business?
Yeah, so I mean it's the data privacy regulation is in discussions in Indian government since at least more than a year now. We are hoping that it should come by next September, but it's like it has been delayed a lot. But if those the data protection regulations is just like if you see in it's just like GDPR in EU actually European Union. So once these data privacy laws are into effect, enterprises will have to work and towards protecting the data that they are collecting, the especially the PII data that they collect from their customers or vendors. And that's where, I mean, it will become more stringent. They'll have to protect the data. At the same time, they will be held responsible, liable for any kind of data breach that happens and after effects that or the repercussions of those breach, actually. So that will at least bring in further awareness among the enterprises, and they will have to spend on the data protection related products. So our data privacy means a product that will be helpful in this will be about the Hawk Scan, which is all about data scanning, classification, and applying policies and rules around that, actually.
That is helpful, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darya Visaria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good growth in revenue, sir. So I am new to the company, so please excuse me if I ask some basic questions. So the first question which I have is the retail business growth has been flat year on year and almost half quarter on quarter. So from your commentary, I understand the focus is low on this vertical. But can you explain what was the industry growth during this same period? And are we losing market share to our peers? If so, can you name some of these peers? And lastly, the sales and the marketing expense has increased significantly. Then why is the growth still slow?
So there is... with respect to your question on retail, so see that globally the consumer industry is growing at 4%. In India, the growth is literally flat. It's barely at 1%. If you compare it with our last 2-3 years' performance, we have grown at lower single digit as compared to a 1% growth in India. This is part number one. With respect to our growth in sales and see, larger expense on these sales and marketing, so we are looking to focus towards digital mode for increasing demand and broadening the pipeline and leads through digital channel. We are also looking forward to optimize our digital presence through search engine optimization and marketing. But these are long-term investment, and it would be not right to expect results on immediate basis. And probably because our investment in sales and marketing was the only factor which has helped us in growing our retail business in last 2-3 years as compared to flat market.
Okay. Yeah, and to add to that, I'll say we are not like only focused on enterprise. The focus is on both. Only thing is consumer is on a different trajectory, and so the retail products are facing what's the trend in the market. But at the same time, we are maintaining our market share and trying to see where and how we can further grow into that. But we'll definitely holding our market share. Right?
Yeah. And just to add, our market share currently in India is highest. Means we have 30 plus percent market share, and we are leader in retail segment in India.
Okay. My second question would be like on the enterprise side. So can you elaborate what kind of clients are we catering to? If you could give a mix of industries or client profiles, that would be helpful. Also, what are the average deal sizes and how many clients are we catering to currently? And what is our average gross margins or EBITDA margins on these projects? And lastly, what is our average timeline of these projects?
So, we currently have around strong presence in SMB segment, and we believe it commands around 15 to 20% in Indian SMB. So, we have 15 to 20% market share in SMB segment for the endpoint security market. So, we have also been shifting towards the larger consumer and to protect a good number of quality logos. So some of them might be included, like the, if I have to name few customers, it's like Bits Pilani or like Fino Payments Bank, Imami Cement. So any organization having IT infrastructure is our potential customer, and that's what we target them to sell our endpoint security products.
Okay, so yeah, that's it from my
side. I need to say there's no particular vertical that we are focusing. It's like throughout, across the vertical, we are across different verticals we target our customers for endpoint security, and currently like adding new products that we are launching in current phase. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Kaustav Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I basically just had one question. Out of this 20 crores of enterprise revenue for the quarter, which is basically 33% of 61 crores total revenue, how much is the sale to private corporates and how much is it to government? So, you know, out of your 80 crores of revenue coming from Secret, how much percent of this 80 is to private corporates and how much is this to government?
Thanks, Kaustav. Broadly, these type of information, normally we don't disclose in to anyone. So this is a bit confidential and appropriate information for us.
But then how do we as investors or potential investors gauge your enterprise growth, your private corporate growth?
But, see...
okay, tell us how much your, over the last 5 years, how much has the sale to private corporates grown on a CAGR basis?
So growth is similar both in government. So limited information, what I can share with you, broadly the CAGR growth for government and private customers are similar. Predominant sales comes from private sector sales only.
Okay, it doesn't make sense to me, but thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhusudan Bora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Mr. Kailash, I want to ask you about the growth in revenue and net profit over a period of time. I see over a period of 3 to 5 years, our revenue has grown just by average 3%, which is not even beating the inflation which I have in India. Even my revenue, if I see between 3 years, the revenue of the net profit growth is around 8% in 5 years, it's just minus 3%. And what I'm seeing is there's no growth as an investor. If I want to go and look at the company, I don't see any anything changing in the company, because if I see from last year, 2015 or 14, our revenue is just hovering around 300 crores mark. I don't know what is the reason, like technical, neither I understand nor I want to understand. I just want to ask management, you know, first, are they satisfied with their own performance that, you know, last so many years there's no growth in revenue, nothing happening in profit terms? So only as an investor I can see is buybacks coming, because you have a cash reserve which is allowing you to make the buybacks at a good price, which is something which is luring the investors. But apart from that, can you just tell me first, as Mr. Kailash, are you satisfied with the performance of the company yourself? Second, what is a growth plan? As a, you know, you must have had some vision for 3 to 5 years for yourself and for your company. So what kind of revenue you are targeting for next 3 to 5 years, your plan? What kind of net profit you are targeting, whether, you know, some spillover goes from one quarter to another quarter, some quarter there is some expenses hit comes, whatever happens. But as a total, 3 to 5 years, where is your vision for revenue and what is your vision for net profit? Second, sir, I see our working capital is cycle is around 100 days, last 2, 3, 4 years. Is there any chance that we can curtail down this 100 days working capital cycle? And the third, sir, is in the presentation, it was given that over a period of time, you rewarded 75 rupees per share to the shareholders. So just wanted to know how this figure has come, sir.
So there are around 2 to 3 questions which you have raised. So you mentioned about the revenue growth and the bottom line growth part of it. So definitely I understand the revenue growth percentage is less compared to the expenses growth which has happened in the organization. But whatever the expenses are happening is like sort of investment into the future futuristic products which we are working on, like a zero trust and data privacy part of it. And these investments were there for last two and a half, three years almost. And apart from that, even the current business as usual product, in that also we need to do lot of upgradation part of it, and new next generation development is required. So it is not into the maintenance mode, but it is towards like developing the next generation existing business as usual products part of it. If you don't work on that for the new upgradation part of it, you will be out of the market. So entire all competition work on that, and we have to also work on that based on the new digital world coming up. Based on that, we have to work towards it. And what I wanted to see that from a revenue point of view, of course, the revenue is being generated by the existing products, which is business as usual, and the new products which I am talking about, a zero trust and data privacy, we are still into the development mode. Some of the products have already, came out into the market as a beta version. As I said in my speech, one of the zero trust product has, we have captured one paid customer in this quarter. This was the first customer for ZTUA, that is a zero trust user access product. And in coming future, when I see that, you know, the other products also will get launched into the market, they will also start generating the revenue part of it.
So my question was about two things. One, are you satisfied with the performance? Second is a kind of, we want an outlook on, not on the products, you know, what you launched or, you know, the maintenance plan. Because my interest is more on what is your revenue target or CAGR growth target for next 3 to 5 years, and what is the net profit CAGR target?
See, definitely, if you are asking me if I am satisfied with the performance, I will say yes, I am satisfied. And let me tell you, as a promoter, we have major stake in this organization. If I would have not been satisfied, I would have thought of, you know, diluting my stake. I am very much confident about the company, about the products, about the product releases and everything. And as I said in earlier investor calls also, my focus is in coming 2 years, we will reach to 50-50 ratio about the revenue ratio of 50% from a retail as well as the enterprise part of it. That is my confidence, which gives that comfort zone for myself and my other colleagues.
So, what is the outlook?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vora. I would request you to rejoin the queue as there are other participants waiting for that.
Okay, because my question is not answered, so I was asking it again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaka Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So my question is right in line with that previous caller what he's asking. So we as a company, right, both the retail and the enterprise, so we are not considering anything about the brand building, like doing the ads. I have seen we are doing a regional basis, but whereas we are not considering about the national level, something like a brand ambassador or something. We are not putting in. There we are very slow, or our decision making is very less. But when it comes to dividend and the buybacks, so the promoters are participating in buybacks and dividends, so where promoters are getting the money from that, there is nothing wrong in it. But still, rather than getting that money in that way, if the company value is doubled, right, so promoter stake is 22.5, so it will be more value, right? So whatever the cash 150 crore we are having, why don't we use it for the brand building? And also when you say investing in the L7 in the Israel company, the investments are very minuscule. So considering the competition, we don't have a major clients or any IP companies which are having more than 50,000 employees. So we are not having any that client. So actually what is lacking? Maybe in the business side we are lacking or something like a specific product team or any CEO who has a different mindset. So mindset change is required, or why we are slowing that decision making in one side. And other side, dividend or just getting a buyback, so there is no growth. So that's why we are just getting the dividend and buyback. So that is the one question.
So while Mr. Jaga, your question was long, I could able to understand three parts in your question. One, you are talking about whether we are doing right exercise for branding, for better branding for our products, or let's say better brand presence. This was first question. Second, why promoters are participating in buyback. And third question was with respect to our investment in Israel. So with respect to brand recognition, etc., while we appreciate suggestions from everyone, but we have experts who work for us who decide that what is right brand building the methodology or technique for product like us or distribution channel like us. It cannot go in one direction. A lot of efforts are required, and lot of multiple way of branding is being done, and that is being taken care by experts. Thanks for your suggestion. We will keep it in mind for any making any strategy. Second part with respect to participation of promoters. See, you might be aware that promoters' share is 70 to 73% in the organization. If a buyback happens without participation from promoter, then certainly their shareholding would increase beyond 75%, which is not permissible under SEBI law. Hence, if the money has to return to shareholder through buyback route, participation of promoter is must. And in similar way, even if we choose for dividend, which takes higher leakage, tax leakage, there also it goes to promoter. So probably your question with respect to buyback probably is not rational, I would say. And third part with respect to investment in Israel, you need to understand that the technology which this Israeli company has, where our investment, that is different from what technology we have. This is a future, technology of future. And while the investment is small, but we have a sizable stake in this entity, and this entity is moving in right direction through product development, etc. Had our investments were not made in endpoint security 5-7 years ago, when we were predominantly taking a lead on retail business, probably this entity would currently would have been at minus 82 or 85 crore revenue, what this this endpoint security or enterprise business has delivered. So probably as a business, we need to understand and appreciate that one, while we keep looking at how our current is, but at the same time, we need to keep seeding things for future. And exactly that was what management is doing. But nevertheless, we keep ourselves challenged every time. We keep checking our strategy. And that's why we have onboarded, as we said, that we have onboarded one of the big three multinational consulting firm who is helping us with helping us in making right strategy for the company for future. Hope this addresses all three parts of your questions.
Okay, that's great to know. So second part of my question is, right, so we are launching a new project, right? So a new product where we acquired one client, right? So actually that is good to know, interesting to know. So just to show light, maybe to give, I'm not asking you to give any outlook or something, just to see, so these products, how we are pitching to the customer, maybe the price basis they are using, or and then or we are just pitching to the existing customers. So just maybe if you can, I understand something like confidential information, but still, what is your approach about new projects? And also, is there any that investments we need to rebuild or rebrand or reinvest, right? So those we have enough money to take care, even if we add this buyback and all also.
These are products, so probably one size fits to all would not be the right thing here. So we have a large client base, and we are pitching these products to our existing client as well as new clients where the requirement is, because just because we have product, we cannot pitch it. It requires a pull from client as well. And third, with respect to buyback, even after the taking care of this buyback and dividend, etc., we would have close to 200 crore rupees available in our books, which shall be used for right organic and inorganic growth opportunities, exactly the way we keep doing. In fact, in last 2 years, we have invested close to 150 crore rupees in R&D of the organization, which takes care of both our existing product, making feature rich existing product or improving features in existing product as well as developing new products.
If I can squeeze in a last question, so how is the attrition is there, and how it is that the employee expense increasing, right? How it is impacting when the export strategy is
followed? Yes, so our attrition is marginally lesser than industry standards. So you know the you must have seen result of a lot of IT companies, how their attrition is. Our attrition is slightly lower than industry standards.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikunj from Mach9 Energies Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question is relating, what is the approach that we are having to market our products in the enterprise business? So right now, as sir mentioned, we are having a stronghold in small and medium enterprises. What is the approach to market the new product line to create awareness? And so
so as we launch a new product, we have our team which looks at the addressable market and the way the marketing plans their approach towards reaching out to the target customers in those segments. One, as I and Naveen rightly explained, we also pitch the newer products to our existing customers, as well as we approach the newer customers. The approach is through multiple ways. We held a lot of events for CISOs and CIOs in different metropolitan cities in India, as well as reach out to certain forums like CISO forum or any other forums wherein CII forum, DSCI, wherein we are able to reach out to more and more CISOs and CIOs who are the decision makers with respect to these kind of products.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ganguly from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you.
I had one question. You know, who would be in the Securite space, who would be your main competitors, and would the, you know, the suite of products that you're talking of, as far as they are concerned, are they already there in the market from a competitor's perspective? And are we like playing, if I may use the term, catch up to, you know, introduce these products in the market?
So in enterprise segment, our competition basis, our current portfolio would be companies like Trend Micro, Sophos, even McAfee at some point. And this is the next generation product of Zero Trust and data privacy we are developing in-house. We would be competing with companies like Zscaler, OneTrust, and even certain regular security vendors like Sophos and Symantec.
Okay. And their products would already be there in the market? They're already catering to the enterprise segment?
No, early stage products are there and not mature products. So they are certain companies like OneTrust is having certain level of maturity, but most of the competition is having early stage products at this time,
right,
for the newer.
Right. And would all of them, like say, you know, you'll have classified your products into three or four categories, whether it's, you know, the dashboard or ZTUA. So would they be also classifying their products along similar lines, or they would?
Yeah, it's on almost on the same lines, actually.
On the same lines they would be there. Okay. And with these four products, you all would be completing your suite, or you all would require to have, you know, you all would plan to introduce more such granular products?
So looking at the awareness and the demand, the basic needs we'll be covering with these products, actually. And as the maturity of the customers grow, by then we'll be looking at how to introduce the further suite of products. So we are doing research on that front as well.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management of Quick Heal Technologies Limited for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or you would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations manager at Valram Advisors. Thank you. Stay safe and healthy.
Thank you. On behalf of Quick Heal Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.